美东时间4月17号星期日，北京时间4月12号星期一，欢迎收看美国观察，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。美国国防部长奥斯汀访问以色列，除了加强两国的合作关系，也承诺共同推进伊朗核协议的谈判。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是美国国防部长奥斯汀呢，在4月10号星期六启程前往四地访问。首先呢，他前往以色列，然后再走往德国，然后呢，再前往布鲁塞尔的北大西洋公约组织的总部访问。最后呢，他会访问英国。那么在以色列的时候呢，奥斯汀部长说，他带来了拜登跟哈里斯政府对于以色列还有以色列人民的坚定承诺。我们看一下奥斯汀部长怎么说。
As a major strategic partner for the United States.Our bilateral relationship with Israel in particular is central to regional stability and security in the Middle East.
奥斯汀部长呢是拜登政府上台以来首位访问以色列的内阁高官。那我们知道美国与伊朗呢在上个星期透过了其他的伊朗和协议签约的国家呢进行了间接的谈判，而以色列方面是非常关注谈判的内容。那么在联合记者会上呢，以色列的国防部长坎茨这样说。
And we will work closely with our American allies to ensure that any new agreement with Iran will secure the vital interests of the world, of the United States, prevent dangerous arms race in our region, and protect the state of Israel.
那我们知道在4月8号星期四的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇表示说，在这个谈判当中除了谈到核武的问题之外，也谈到了被伊朗监禁的美国人质的问题。卡拉。
好了，感谢姚毅的详细报道。据伊朗媒体报道，伊朗纳坦兹核设施的配电系统星期天发生故障。此前一天，德黑兰在这处核设施启动了新的先进铀浓缩的离心机。伊朗这一行动可能再次违背了2015年达成的伊朗核协议。纳坦兹核设施是受到国际原子能机构监督的几处伊朗核设施之一。伊朗方面表示，故障原因正在调查中。美联社报道说，伊朗议会议员、议会能源委员会一位成员表示，这起事件非常可疑，引发了对可能的破坏和渗透的担忧。纳坦兹核设施去年7月发生火灾，2010年阵亡电脑病毒攻击了核设施的电脑网络，据称致使数千台铀浓缩离心机瘫痪。美国国务卿布林肯周日抨击中国的新冠反应，表示要追查新冠病毒的起源。他还呼吁国际社会共同抵制中国在新疆的人权侵犯，同时强调美国对台湾的军事承诺。在和美国全国广播公司 NBC 的专访中，布林肯说，中国一年多前对新冠病毒的威胁反应迟缓，在新冠病毒的早期阶段，他没有做他需要做的事情，那就是实时的让国际专家准入，实时的分享信息，实时的提供真正的透明度。此外，各国在应对病毒传播时应保证透明度，包括对病毒信息的及时分享，并允许国际专家调研。他表示，正因为中国在新冠病毒传播初期没有做到这些，才导致了疫情失控。布林肯还呼吁强化并改革世界卫生组织，建立一个更加强健的全球健康安全系统。在新疆问题上，他认为全世界应该共同谴责中国针对维吾尔人的人权侵犯。他说，美国应当确保没有任何美国公司向中国提供用于压迫人民的产品，并且不购买任何来自新疆地区的产品。美国国务院已经将新疆的现状定性为种族灭绝。布林肯也重申，美国基于《台湾关系法》，有义务保证台湾的军事能力，同时维护西太平洋地区的安全与和平。他说，任何试图通过武力改变现状的行为都会是一个严重的错误。美国国务院星期五发布了美国政府与台湾对口部门进行互动的新准则。国务院的声明说，发布的新准则是为了鼓励美国政府与台湾的接触，反映双方不断深化的非官方关系。声明说，该准则强调，台湾是一个充满活力的民主和重要的安全和经济伙伴，也是国际社会中的一股良善力量。新准则是根据《台湾保证法》的规定进行评估后发布的，放宽了与台湾交往的指导。该声明没有说明新发布的美台互动准则的具体内容。美国国务院作出这一决定之际，北京近来不断对台湾采取军事侵扰活动。 美国国防部长劳埃德·奥斯汀星期六与菲律宾防长通过电话，讨论了近期大量中国海上民兵船聚集停泊在靠近菲律宾的南中国海争议海域引发的忧虑。国防部发言人科比说，奥斯汀和洛伦扎纳讨论了南中国海局势以及最近在惠特森礁，也就是中国所称的牛轭礁聚集的中国渔船。奥斯汀提出了几项美菲深化国防合作的措施，包括增强对南中国海威胁态势的感知。科比没有对此进一步说明。美菲访问部队协议允许美国有条件地将军队调往菲律宾。周六，维吾尔活动人士在华盛顿特区的中国大使馆外声援缅甸裔美国人，抗议缅甸军政府的统治。以下是美国之音的报道。
4月11日，超过1000名缅甸裔美国人在华盛顿特区的中国大使馆和缅甸大使馆外举行集会，要求缅甸军队将权力交还文职政府，抗议缅甸安全部队对抗议民众的暴力镇压，同时也抗议中国事实上对缅甸军方的支持。自缅甸政变开始以来，中国政府不断呼吁缅甸各方保持冷静，同时坚持反对国际社会插手，这引起了许多缅甸民众的不满，认为中国实际上在袒护军队。周六的集会还受到了维吾尔活动人士的声援，包括世界维吾尔大会中国事务部主任伊利夏提。
I'm honored today to be with you.The oppressed Burmese people in here. Since I came to United States more than a decade ago, as oppressed by the Chinese communists, I started demonstration in here, in front of this den of the evil. Year by year, the crowd is growing. Year by year,The crowd become multi-ethnic, multinational. Tibetan, Uyghur, Kazakh, Chinese Muslim, and Southern Mongolia. Recently, we saw Hong Kongers and Taiwanese joined this crowd.
政治犯援助协会表示，自2月1日缅甸军队政变以来，已经有618人身亡。在过去2天里，有80名示威民众被军警杀害。
对于关注中国人权议题的群体来说，瑞典人权活动人士彼得·达林是一个熟悉的名字。他所发起的人权组织“保护卫士”正在全球发起投诉央视的行动，并成功地让英国政府撤销了央视的落地执照。最近，达林接受美国之音专访，谈到了他为何在全球范围瞄准央视。请看美国之音记者张乐谷、钟瑞哲的报道。
Now, it is a very important policy under Xi Jinping to expand Chinese soft power, the idea of telling the China story well. And for that, they need media and they need their TV stations. And they are being forced into a corner by the actions that we've taken, where they can either continue airing these kind of confessions and then perhaps lose their license or their ability to broadcast, or they can stop broadcasting these confessions andyou know, maintain their license to broadcast. And we think that in the end, they're going to choose the latter. To keeping their TV channels operational is far more important for them than airing these kind of confessions. So we're forcing them into a corner to make a decision for the problems that exist in relations between Western nations and China is that China wants to be part of the international community and get all of the bonuses that comes from that, but without being held accountable to these standards. They want to have the cake and they want to eat the cake at the same time. And this is a behavior that has been encouraged by the West because we have not been holding them accountable. And this particular issue about these confession videos is just one part of a much bigger issue.There are clearly written laws about what you can and cannot do. CGTN chooses by themselves to ignore these laws repeatedly despite warnings, and now they are facing the consequences. Televised confessions. It's not only to deter the individual, but to attack a larger group of people. So when they put, for example, Wang Yu as a lawyer on TV and humiliate her, the point, of course, is to attack all of the lawyers, for example, that might be doing the same kind of work, or a journalist, or in my case, as an NGO worker. These televised confessions are a form of political terror, by any definition. And that's why it's so important to stand up to them and fight back. I was sitting with my colleague Michael Caster, I think it was a Friday night, at this tiny little bar in northern Thailand, and we were just thinking out loud about new issues that are affecting human rights defenders in China that hasn't been paid attention to. And this was back in 2017, and we thought, oh yeah, these confessions, we never really read anything about it, we never understood, what's going on and what happens. Except my own experience and that of a few co-workers. And that's how this whole thing started. Research project was really the beginning of all of this, to create an understanding about what is going on. And then, of course, we just took the natural step, which is to file this information to the UN, for example, for a proper review, to take this to fever regulators in the UK, the US, Canada, Australia, because in many countries this is not allowed. And at no point do I think I've ever considered stopping. And I think it's quite normal for many activists, lawyers, journalists that I deal with in China or have dealt with for many years. A lot of their devotion and motivation comes from having suffered personally. It really drives them. So I think the idea of torturing people, humiliating people, putting them in prison, it doesn't really work. Because once people are free, they tend to just get back out there and work even harder for these issues, which is very inspiring.
美国观察每天美东时间下午北京时间早上6点到6点半在 YouTube、 推特、脸书平台同步直播，欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问。有关今天节目中提到的，美国国务院发布了美国政府对台湾对口部门互动新准则，以及国务卿布林肯批评中国在疫情初期反应迟缓，您有什么看法？期待在节目中分享您的意见。 近期节目中，我们报道了美国将与台湾加强合作，拓展台湾的国际空间，以及美国出于国家安全等原因加强对中国的制裁。推特网友雪肖 OS 留言说，美国应该联合盟友施压中共拆除网络防火墙，让中国民众可以自由接收境外的信息，有助于中国实现民主。只有中国民主化了，对世界的威胁才会解除。有关美台加强合作，网友 Reader 写道，一，在台湾在印太战略构想中占有极其重要的地理战略位置优势和民主转型社会制度优势，是印太战略的重要支点，也必然将成为美中战略争夺的热点。二，提升和加强美台关系和军事合作，有利于呵护民主台湾，维护台海和平，还有利于美国推进印太战略，促进印太的民主人权进步以及经贸合作与繁荣。感谢您的评论和反馈，也期待在今后的节目中和大家进行更多的交流。数百名生活在印度的藏人星期天举行最后一轮投票，选举自己的政治领导人。世界其他地区的藏人也同期投票，参与流亡政府新一届领导人的选举过程。来看报道。
在达兰萨拉的投票是海外藏人国际范围内投票的一部分，他们将选出藏人行政中央资政以及由45名议会议员组成的流亡政府。
We are conducting this election in 26 countries all over the world, and we have a report that in every corner they were having a very good election.
西藏精神领袖达赖喇嘛现年已85岁高龄，西藏人民议会议员候选人洛桑西饶加措呼吁年轻一代在政治进程中发挥更大作用。
As the soldiers is getting older, and I think it's important for the younger generation to actually take part in the election process and actually kind of like contribute more.
预计藏人流亡政府选举的最终结果将于5月14日宣布。美国之音新闻报道。
引发全美种族运动“黑人的命也是命”的弗洛伊德之死案庭审还在进行当中。在对涉案的前明尼阿波利斯市警官德里克·肖文的第二周审判中，多位警方人员和医疗人员作为检方证人出庭。下面一起来回顾一下第二周的庭审重点。
Once there was no longer any resistance, and clearly when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
Because at the time of the restraint period, Mr. Floyd was not resisting. He was in the prone position. He was handcuffed. He was not attempting to evade. He was not attempting to resist. And the pressure that he was...that was being caused by the body weight could cause positional asphyxia, which could cause death.
There's no evidence to suggest he would have died that night.Except for the interactions with law enforcement.
I think you explained to us that if somebody is suffering from a fentanyl overdose, you would see a depression in the respiratory system.
Yes.
And depression means some reduction in the rate of ability to breathe.
Correct.
Did you see any depression in Mr. Floyd's ability to breathe whatsoever before he went unconscious?
No, absolutely not. He was normal respiratory rate.
Any evidence then that any fentanyl in his system depressed his breathing in any way whatsoever?
No.
新任美国中情局长威廉·伯恩斯是美国第一位职业外交官出身的中情局局长。他领导下的中央情报局有四个关键的优先事项，其中之一就是赢得与中国的竞争。伯恩斯认为，美国最大的地缘政治考验是一个敌对及有侵略性的中国领导层，而中国在过去的六七年在很多方面的发展对美国都是非常强烈的警示。请看记者刘文民的报道。
The evolution of Xi Jinping's China over the last six or seven years has been a very sharp wake-up call in a lot of ways. The kind of aggressive, undisguised ambition and assertiveness that, you know, I think has made very clear the nature of the adversary and rival that we face today. And I think that's been true across partisan lines, not just in the Congress, but across our society. And the challenge, therefore, is how do you build a long-term, and I would emphasize the term long-term, because we have to buckle up for the long haul, I think, in competition with China. Four crucial and interrelated priorities will shape my approach to leading CIA: China, technology, people, and partnerships. As President Biden has underscored, outcompeting China will be key to our national security in the decades ahead. That will require a long-term, clear-eyed, bipartisan strategy underpinned by domestic renewal and solid intelligence. There are, however, a growing number of areas in which Xi's China is a formidable authoritarian adversary, methodically strengthening its capabilities to steal intellectual property, repress its own people, bully its neighbors, expand its global reach, and build influence in American society. For CIA, that will mean intensified focus and urgency.
从星期一开始，美国联邦紧急事务管理署将开始为家人死于新冠肺炎的家庭提供丧葬费用补助。美国全国殡葬业者协会主席，同时也是一间位于巴尔的摩殡仪馆的所有人哈里·克洛斯，正在帮助许多家庭申请这项国家补助。每个家庭可以申请的最高补助金额达到$9,000。一起来看这则故事。
This is the first time that FEMA has done a national effort. Now, usually FEMA deals with disasters that focus on, you know, storms, whatever. This is the first national effort that FEMA has done on a national level, to even to their territorials. The thing is, if COVID-19 is not on the death certificate, they will not be eligible. And even if a family paid with life insurance, they now accept that they consider that not a double reimbursement. It doesn't replace their loved one, but it sure takes a burden off.
Yes.
To make sure that they have something, a little additional to move forward. Basically, the United States pays for the funeral.
Right.
It just stepped up, not only for me, but for other families too, because when people die, it's just like a big expense.
It lessened our grief that we had from the passing of our dad. So we just appreciate the government, FEMA, the close friend or home, anybody that partook in this, because it's a big help to my mom financially.
今天的节目中，有名叫松溪的网友评论说，大疫情导致世界格局在各个领域重组，政治、经济、贸易等都会出现新的秩序，也让全世界更认清中共的本质永远不会改变。他还说，缅甸政府军的残暴行径不禁让我们想起天安门事件。以上就是今天节目的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。